Radio 1 podcast. Radio 1 podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, we've all been there. You're with somebody important, right? It could be your boss, could be maybe your girl or boyfriend's dad or someone you fancy. Somebody that you're kind of looking up as quite being on high, okay? And they say something that really is not funny. But because of who they are, because you see them as quite important, you laugh. Normally like this. Right, if you work maybe in an office or whatever, I bet this happens to you quite a lot. The big boss comes in, cracks a really not funny at all joke, or tells a story that's not amusing in any way, that's completely humour-free, and everyone goes, hey, yeah. You've done, haven't you, chappers?
Yep.
I know you have, because we caught you out yesterday. You were one of the many people we did catch out at Radio 1. We call this is my theory, career laughing. You laugh for the sake of your career. Everybody does it. You put your morals to one side, and you have a good old party laugh along with the unfunny, important person. Now, yesterday here at Radio 1, a very important big boss came for a visit to meet everybody in the building and have a tour around. And me and the one that doesn't speak were the ones that showed him around, because we're important too.
Yeah.
Why would we ever be showing anybody around? But we were. And he met some of the people that work here. Just a bit of a management tour, you know, see what goes on in the beating heart of Radio 1. Only he wasn't a big boss at all. He was an actor that we hired to pretend to be a bloke that we made up called Mark Daltrey, who is a top BBC executive or not. And the idea is that this guy would meet people, have a bit of a chat and say some really unfunny things in the conversation. But would they laugh? Would they career laugh just because he's a top BBC boss and they're thinking about their career? Now, we did come to see you, chappers, with our actor.
Yeah.
What was the boss like?
Well, I thought he was very convincing because he was incredibly rude and arrogant, and I had to be introduced to him twice because he forgot who I was the first time, which therefore meant I was sure he was high up in management.
He was
not
convincing.
Here, obviously.
He was convincing.
He was incredibly convincing.
Right.
And I didn't... Yeah, I just felt very, very, very uncomfortable.
Now, you will have to excuse the quality on some of these clips because me and the one that doesn't speak were doing secret recording from our lapels using a cassette player from 1975. So it's a little bit hissy. But this is what happened when the big BBC boss that wasn't one met chappers.
You're preparing for tonight, are you?
For the sport and the
sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your sports, yeah. Right, okay. I don't know, that's not really my field of expertise. But how many footballers does it take to change a light bulb? Actually, I've forgotten it. You must know that. Well, come on.
Now, you laughed, and he couldn't even remember the punchline to the joke.
Well,
you still found it hilarious.
He was struggling. I just kind of wanted to put him at ease.
What we told him to do was do all those really rubbish light bulb jokes.
Yeah.
So he did, how many footballers does it take to change a light bulb? And then you went...
How many footballers does it take to change a light bulb?
Was
that career laughing, or were you laughing at him?
Well, it was a bit of both, really. It was like, it wasn't career laughing, but I was laughing in an uncomfortable way.
Filling the silence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you'll notice everyone we spoke to, he did manage to fit in this light bulb joke. What do you think Joe Wiley did? Important boss comes round, tells a bad joke, quite convincing bloke.
She was, she's too cool, she won't have laughed.
Yeah, but it's a big boss, she thinks.
Yeah, no, she won't laugh.
I want you to listen, first of all, how our actor really got into the role as a top BBC boss. He'd been researching it on the internet. Listen to all the buzzwords he uses. Listen.
I suppose we really like to think of this as the kind of coalface, in a way, for the... You're getting the kind of demographic that we're really going for.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. He did use the word...
But
he
was...
Coalface.
He was very convincing.
I like to think you're at the coalface of Radio 1, you know, and you're meeting our demographic perfectly. She didn't have a clue, neither did he. But would Joe laugh at his rubbish joke?
What's the... reminds me of a joke. How many producers does it take to change... How many producers does it take to change a light bulb? None, they like to keep the DJs in the dark.
She laughed. That wasn't a nice laugh, though, was it? That was a you idiot laugh.
Yeah, it was a kind of, you know,
patronizing. How many producers does it take to change a light bulb? Next, it's Radio 1's Hugh Stevens, who, when he found out afterwards that he was an actor, was hilariously mad at us. Now, if you've not heard Hugh's show, it was on last night, actually, really good. Loads of brand new music, unsigned bands. Listen to how our actor boss talks to Hugh and then does a kind of stereotyping Welsh joke when he realises that Hugh is Welsh. But will Hugh laugh because he thinks this man is important?
Sorry, we haven't been introduced. What's your name?
Hugh, my name is, yeah.
Hugh.
How's it going? Yeah.
Oh, Welsh.
That's it, yeah.
A bit of a giveaway, I could tell. How many, there's a joke you can use. How many coal miners does it take to change a light bulb? One, and the rest to organise the secondary picket. Do you know that one?
That's
it's a bit old,
I
was told that long time ago.
It's good, but
it's
all right.
No, but the...
Well,
sorry.
Oh, God. Oh, he's Welsh, let's do a coal miner joke. Brilliant. But once again, the laugh was...
One and the rest to organise the secondary picket. Do you know that one?
It was a kind of...
Do you know?
Like Joe. Yeah, they weren't. Yeah, it was a kind of you idiot. Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast. Right, so it's day four of Best Guest Week, and what a week it's turned out to be. We've had Sarah Beeny off of Property and Boobs. She was good.
She was very, very good, and really, really nice person.
Lovely. And yet they are as big as her head.
They are.
Then we had Peter, the voiceover man, Rodeland, off X Factor and, like, everything on TV. It was all right. And yesterday, two circus freaks, the man that swallowed the sword and the man with the stretchy skin. The video is getting a lot of hits online, if you want to have a look at that. Maybe you're a bit bored at work and you want to be grossed out before you go home. bbc.co.uk/radio1. Right, so why wouldn't you tell me who's today's guest?
Well, you've kind of seen a little bit through the window in the live lounge,
yeah,
what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And I admit that this guest or these guests today aren't going to win me the best guest prize. That's not because they won't be very good guests, but it's because you make the judgment and you're not going to like this next 15 minutes. But there's not a lot
of
idea.
I think I know what it is.
So should we bring in the guests?
Okay, let's bring in the guests.
Yeah, I think there's
more than that. I know what this is now.
These are...
Well, I'm never opening it. Hello.
Hello, hello.
I'm never opening my big mouth ever again on this on this radio station.
You are... Oh, what a surprise. It's Will from online filming this one.
Oh,
not the girl from yesterday. Claire. These are the British cheerleading champions.
Right,
are
good.
You not?
Yep.
Hello. I see where this is going now. Good. So we were talking about cheerleaders on this show earlier in the week, and then it got on to talking about male cheerleaders, and we didn't realise there's a whole world of them out there.
We kind of guffawed at it to start with.
Quite a lot.
We did laugh. So what are your names?
I'm Sam.
Ellie. Cheryl. Sean.
And Dan.
Okay, right, good. And you're all cheerleaders.
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
And two of them are boys.
Yay!
Yeah. Now, can I ask, right, the boys, first of all, because this is what we're discussing on air.
Yeah.
Did you do cheerleading just to get a date? Is it one of those things where people go, so you're a cheerleader? Amazing. Hi there.
That was always part of that.
Is it the only
it
reason?
For the fun side as well, you know.
Right, okay.
The fun side of the lifts, but there's always that little bit on the side.
What about you, Dan? Do the ladies love it?
Not really.
They don't? That surprises
me. There's a bit of stigma about it, isn't it?
Maybe.
So have you pulled?
But that's not true.
Have you pulled through doing this?
No, I haven't.
I'm in a relationship, so I can't really say.
Oh, okay, I'm going to really...
I'm sure you could do. Every competition, there's like 6,000 girls and about 20 boys, so your chances are pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. That's a good ratio to have.
That's a brilliant ratio, yeah.
Yeah. Now, present company accepted, obviously. You know when you watch films... like Hollywood films, the cheerleaders are always really hot, right?
Yeah.
Like that girl off Heroes.
Yes.
Hot. Oh,
yeah.
Blimey.
She's hot.
Right. But when you go to some sports grounds, let's say, around the UK, jeez, it's not like the films, is it?
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Some of them, you know, on a wet Wednesday night when they're trying to put on half-time entertainment, it looks like...
Not you lot,
not
obviously.
You lot, but it's like they've just grabbed six people out of the crowd.
So we try our best to look our best.
You're looking great. You
no,
look
no,
really
no.
great, we're not saying.
You've straightened your hair, haven't you, Sam?
I have.
Yes, you have.
I really have. This is not good for male cheerleaders, is it?
No.
It goes really curly.
Yeah, I know, I have the same.
It's terrible.
Anyway, I'm going to play Simple Plan, and when I'm gone. Are you going to take over here? Because I've no idea what the plan is.
I think I probably do, but
yeah,
anyway.
You've been practicing a routine, haven't you, out
we
there
have.
In the live lounge. But you need... this is... obviously, some people are now texting saying, oh, this is great for radio, but it's all being filmed, and anything that makes a fool of yourself, that's will work. So they've been practicing a routine, but you're one member short. Yes?
Oh, yeah. There's not a costume.
And there is a costume with a great rah-rah skirt somewhere for you to put on. And we'll film it. I realise it's going slightly generation game.
It really
but
is.
We'll film it, and then that will go online.
Oh, good. Well, I do this every time. I did it with the horse, I did it with the darts, and here we are, and oh, let's wear a rara skirt. Brilliant.
Do you want to just qualify that first bit when you say I did it with the horse?
I didn't do it with a horse, obviously. I had to get on a horse because I'd said on air that horse riding was easy. I didn't say that cheerleading was easy.
Well, you just laughed at boys doing cheerleading.
So did you? You? Why aren't you doing it?
No, well, because I don't have the rhythm that you do.
As we're about to find out.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, who are you?
I'm Sian.
How can I help, Sian?
I'm just calling about your sort of career laugh. I know.
Do you do it?
I hear this all the time. I do it out of politeness, but I hear it all the time in my office.
Yeah. What? So the boss comes round and it's like, blah, 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 funny, funny story. Not funny. Yeah.
Particularly in meetings with big groups of staff.
Yeah.
The whole load of office is just career laughing.
I'd like to say at this point as well, if any of my bosses are listening, I never do this. I don't, because our bosses...
That's
are,
how this whole thing came about.
Our bosses are genuinely funny. I'm just covering my eyes.
Oh, are you? Sorry.
Our bosses are really funny. But it does happen to you all the time, doesn't it, Sian?
It does, and I sit near a conference room and just laughing all the time.
I mean, you've not had a name for it before, but now you have a name, Career Laughing.
I have a name. Now I can accuse people of something. It's great.
Oh, you're doing a career laugh, you were earlier.
I can't help it.
I thought you said that you were fed up having to laugh at DJ dinners.
I didn't say that. Radio 1 Podcasts. Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcasts. I love all these texts. Will from Fraserburgh's been on in Scotland going, I'm a self-confessed career laugher. I didn't realise there's a name for it. Ed in Brighton, oh my God, that explains why I laugh at my football manager's jokes just to get in the team. How depressing.
Yeah.
See, it's just a deep psychological thing. You just do it automatically. Ross.
Yeah, mate.
What are you saying?
Well, I've just realised that my labourer career laughs at me all day.
Well, so
I thought I was a funny bloke, you know what I mean?
Are you a boss?
Well, sort of. I'm a gang on. It's two of us, mate.
Right, and they go, ha ha ha, your jokes.
Yeah, he's just doing it then, and it's what you said. I didn't realise.
Oh, and you thought you were funny?
Yeah.
They're just doing it to get ahead in their career, Ross.
Yeah, you know it.
Oh, rubbish. I'm sorry about that.
No worries, mate, no worries.
Loads of people in the Air Force and the Army are texting and saying they all laugh at their officers.
Yeah.
It's widespread there.
Right, TTFM for now, Ross.
Cheers, mate. See ya.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So we're talking about career laughing. Some people call it a gaffer laugh or a broker laugh. Depends what kind of profession you're in, really. It's people, we all do it, who laugh at the big boss when they come to visit, when they are spectacularly unfunny because they're a boss and you're thinking, my career, you go. Also, if you put the career laughs of Hugh Stevens and Joe Wiley off of Radio 1 together, they are the new Beavis and Butthead. Listen.
Beavis.
Right, next it's Joe Harland. Now, you at home won't know him, but he's what we call an executive producer here at Radio 1. So he's quite important himself. Will he laugh at the big BBC boss joke? Now, this time... Notice our actor throws in the fact that the Director General of the BBC has told him this joke. No pressure to laugh then at all then for
laugh.
Joe. Here we go.
How many executive producers it take to change a light bulb? Mark Thompson told me this one actually. How many executive? None, because they like to keep the DJs in the dark.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
How many executive? None, because they like to keep the DJs in the dark.
There you go.
There you go.
What about our boss, Rob? Will he laugh?
Oh, God.
Will he laugh?
Yeah, he'll laugh.
How many executive producers it take to change a light bulb? None, because... they're glad to keep the DJs in the dark. I think I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much. Good luck. I'm not going to take any more of your time.
That was a definite laugh there.
There were two laughs there.
Yeah. And what about Georgina Bowman off the news?
No, because she's a right Mardy thing.
So she won't laugh?
No.
How many newsreaders it take to change a light bulb? This is one for your show. How many newsreaders it take to change a light bulb, Scott? You probably heard this.
I haven't actually. I'm waiting one. To find out.
That's not a laugh, is it?
How many newsreaders it take to change a light bulb, Scott? You probably heard this.
I haven't actually. I'm waiting one. To find out.
Mm. One, but all the others will broadcast it. Talk about. Oh, sorry, I can't. Anyway, sorry. I'm not a comedian.
That's okay.
Do you know how many... Do you know the answer to that?
Oh, God, how embarrassing. No. This is awful doing this. I had to stand right next to him as well. Everyone's like, why is Scott so close to the big boss of the BBC? Because I'm recording you with a microphone on my lapel. That was a...
I knew that she wouldn't, though.
He went, sorry, I'm not a comedian. She went, that's okay. Love, George. I was surprised more people didn't go, ah-ha! Because he was quite a big boss. Well, so they thought. They obviously don't have much respect for management here, do they?
They don't brown nose here.
No. Anyway, back to Beavis and Butthead.
Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Yeah, I'm in the live lounge. Everybody is waiting for you. I do realise that this isn't going to win me the prize of the best guest.
No, it is not.
But it is kind of for my own personal amusement and also for the amusement of everybody who'll be able to watch this online. Brilliant. A little bit later on. So you are changed.
Yeah,
are
you describe gonna, it.
Well, you've got on a kind of starry sort of jacket, a blonde wig. You've even kind of got a Madonna Vogue microphone over your ear.
Right, and also
and
I'm wearing... Yeah.
You're wearing a sort of very short miniskirt.
Right, this is the shortest skirt ever.
And
right?
You're slightly worried that you haven't got your best boxer shorts on today.
Someone could have told me we were doing this, I would have worn really nice ones.
Are we doing any high kicks?
Yeah.
No, we're not.
Can you check that Minnie Mills isn't going to pop out?
He's but also, it's
he's safely
tied,
tucked
it's
away.
It's tied with a really rubbish bow.
What is?
The skirt.
Oh, right,
it's the
okay.
only thing stopping it from coming down.
But very cutely, you've kept your socks on.
Yeah.
Right, so are
I'm
we
also
lined
up? Britney Spears' hair.
Right, come on then.
Okay.
Are you going to come in here?
Okay.
The guys are lining up. So how long is this routine going to be?
A couple of minutes.
A couple of minutes. I think you might be a bit hopeful there. I'm not sure he's going to... They reckon it's going to be 2 minutes, this routine.
Get out. We've got to do the news.
The news can wait. Where would you like him positioned?
In the middle.
Yeah, right
in the middle. And is he just going to follow what you're doing?
Yeah, maybe you guys step forward. If you guys step forward so he can watch. So you're going to learn your jump sequence, first of all,
right.
Scott, that we do.
Bear in mind, I'm wearing my boxer shorts. And yeah. Okay, could
seriously?
You like... Yeah.
Right, go.
Stand back, ladies.
Come on,
ready? 5, 6, 7, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh my! Oh dear! Oh, he just
my skirt.
He just 5, 6, 7, 8. Full roll.
What?
And roll. Off you go.
Ow!
Oh no! That was. He just did a forward roll.
Did you see my pants?
I did see your pants. Yes. I couldn't really see anything that was in them. You
went
straight into the desk. So far you've done kind of like the splits of the air and a forward roll.
This is quite hard.
Did you get his? Oh, you did. That's all on. That's all. Don't worry. I know you're very keen about making sure everything's on camera. So we got the whole forward roll.
Good morning.
Nice. Next.
Dance break.
Yeah, that will do for me.
Dance break. Here we go. Ready? 5, 6, 7, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I'm not sure the timing's your strong point.
This is the first time I've seen this.
You are quite
away
behind.
Give me a couple of hours, I'll be right there.
You've popped open at the front.
No!
Oh, my God.
Oh, I have as well.
What, have you got one more thing that we can do?
Hang on. There's a wardrobe malfunction.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Now, I don't know whether anyone else saw this show last night on BBC Two. It's part of their Wonderland series, which is on. Have you seen this?
No, I've seen the trails for it, and then I was out last night, so I didn't see it. But you know what I might do? I might watch it on the BBC iPlayer, because that makes the unmissable... unmissable.
The unmissable missable.
The unmissable missable, that's the... doesn't it? Something like that. Anyhow, so that's why I'll watch it.
Tell you what, I know I work for the BBC, but the iPlayer is flipping brilliant, isn't it? Like, if you lead a busy life like you do...
Exactly.
I mean, just there when you want it. Really good.
Is this us trying to get back in management good books?
It's brilliant. I love the BBC iPlayer. No, it's good. Loads of TV, loads of radio on there. Anyway, this Wonderland show, which you can watch on the iPlayer, was on BBC Two, and it's about some people that live on Bodmin Moor, who are a little bit strange, including a man, I can't remember his name, let's call him Arthur, because I can't remember, who drives around the local roads, and when he sees a dead animal, he picks it up and takes it home to eat. His wife isn't happy about this at all. In fact, she's a vegetarian. So it doesn't really work out. Yeah, she actually is. But here is, let's call him Arthur, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
And this is him going through the contents of his deep freezer. He's got one of those old school freezers, right?
No.
One of those really deep ones. And he just gets the roadkill, comes home, boils it up in a pot and eats it. Here he is going through the contents of what he's got at the moment. You know, like when you go home, you're like, what have I got in my freezer tonight? Right, what can I have? This is him doing it.
This is my freezer. All full of badger and lovely things. Pheasant, A30. A30 is a good road.
There we are. He tells you what road he's caught it on as well. A30, that pheasant.
Here's badger legs, hedgehog, ox, squirrel, dog. Here's a rabbit. This is an otter. That's a barn owl. Very nutritious.
Very nutritious.
I've got stuff in here which has been here for quite a while. Oh, there's some rather green badger. Look at that.
Oh, no.
That's 30-day-old badger. And it has begun to go a little bit. That's the fat has got a tinge of green to it. But that'll taste very nice.
Oh.
A nice, nice cock pheasant. Oh. Cat likes playing with them.
Come on. That's the cat looking really worried.
No, don't walk away.
Have you eaten cat?
I have eaten cats, yes.
The cat's like, oh no.
I can't believe you're
pie. I'm not going out ever on the A30. Seriously, I'll be in his mouth in no time, as it were. So that's Wonderland on BBC Two last night. It's on the iPlayer.
I feel sick.
Apparently his name is Arthur. That was a good guess. Someone's saying his name is Arthur. Yeah, and it was on Wonderland last night. Barn owl.
That is revolting.
Right, and don't get any ideas. I'm not eating roadkill on as a hilarious feature on Radio 1 just because I've played that. All right.
Take you down the A30.
I'm not eating any badgers. I love his wife, though. She's stuck with him all through the years, and he just like goes out and catches some owl, a bit of badger action. She's having some corn.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.